Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Coming to you live from our houses in Los Angeles, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, we answer the burning question, should you go out and spend money to see America's number one movie, F9? Spoiler alert, no! But seriously, we're going to make you wait for that answer, which is no, during this, our movie review special, wherein we help you decide whether you should see F9, which you shouldn't, based on our nuanced review of Fast 5, the fifth film in the fabulous family-friendly Fast and Furious film franchise. You want a dangerous stunt? Try making Paula Poundstone sit through these movies. I'm Adam Felber, the tough, bald guy with a heart of gold who's willing to do anything to drive this podcast safely home for this one last score. And now, please welcome the thrill-seeking maverick whose high-velocity hijinks are going to get us all killed someday. It's Paula Poundstone.
Yay! Hey,
you guys! So nice to be with you. And before I get any further, I want to thank tonight's house band, Harry Terrell from Los Angeles, California, on the drums. He's in Los Angeles. We've probably any number of us called the cops on him for noise before. Thank you, Harry.
But today we pay him back by giving him an opportunity to be on America's number one podcast named for Paula Poundstone.
Yes, yes, and it is. And it is. Only recently did it move to that position. Adam.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of jobs out on the road. I was just somewhere, damned if I can remember where, but what I remember specifically. Saugatuck, I believe. Saugatuck. Saugatuck is a term that people use when giving facelifts. Saugatuck.
Saugatuck. Yeah.
I believe Saugatuck. You know what? What a beautiful place. Saugatuck is. Let Saugatuck off the hook here. I did not stay in the town of Saugatuck, so I don't blame them for this in any way, but, there was a couple of things. So I had to connect through Chicago to, I flew into the Grand Rapids, Michigan airport, and this is only my second theater job, you know, in a year and a half. So the plane hadn't even taken off yet. And there was a delay. And then we sat on the tarmac, I forget for how long. But they said, that's okay. It's a weather delay. And so your flights will be waiting for you in Chicago. And then there was another kind of delay. I think it was that the pilot just didn't want to go yet. I think that's what it was. Yeah, because I kept hearing from the cockpit, no, no, no. And so I think they had like a 5-year-old pilot and he just wouldn't go. they make this big speech about how, don't worry, it'll all be good. Don't worry about a thing, which is always, you know, your red flag, right? So I arrive in Chicago and I mention to somebody at a desk, you know, Grand Rapids, and they go, oh, that's gone. So I was going to stay on the floor of the Chicago airport for the night because I couldn't get out till the morning, but I ended up going to a hotel for a few hours. And then when I arrived at my job, I was staying in a hotel where the toilet ran like constantly, just like a noise constantly. And the TV every 20 minutes would just turn off. And
oh, wow.
I am so happy to be back on the road. It was, I have missed that so much. Yeah, it was great. And by the way, the crowd in Saugatuck could not have been nicer. The performing experience was nothing but wonderful. And, you know, it was just I forgot the other thing. I knew there wasn't going to be food at the hotel, so I had made myself a peanut butter and jelly and put it in my suitcase. But, of course, my suitcase had been checked. And, yeah, so it was a long period of time with no food. I think I had chips the next day. I had chips. And, yeah, it was just fantastic. It was just great to be out there again. next time I'm going to bring a tent. I think that's
a prudent idea.
Yeah.
And I know how you pack anyway, so you'd hardly notice the extra with the tent.
Yeah. Well, I bought this tent, Adam, that's amazing. I mean, it's so light that you actually have to tether it to the ground or it just lifts up while you're in it.
Wow, that sounds... You should make the rest of the stuff you carry around out of that tent material.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you don't travel light, Paula.
No, I used to, you know, when I was selling stuff on the road, I traveled with 150 pounds of luggage everywhere I went. And so now I'm still going to sell pots and pans, but I think I'm just going to bring a pitcher of them.
I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm up to, Paula. Just a kind of a funny story from the other day. My friend and I did a reading of our new screenplay.
Oh, how'd it go?
Well, here's the thing. As you might be aware, there's a new surge of the pandemic underway here in Los Angeles.
Yes, there is.
Thanks to the clever strategic thinking of people who figured out that they could continue to get the virus as long as they didn't get a vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to know that we inhabit the earth with so many brilliant people. And do they love to argue on Twitter? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy, do they.
Yesterday, some guy, I only responded to him twice, but other people on my Twitter feed were responding to him. This guy must have sat in front of his computer all damn day long, going back and forth with various Paula Poundstone followers about how he wasn't going to get, no one could tell him what to do. My guess is he's dead now, but still.
Well, anyway, no sooner than the surge started to happen, we started to see, you know, things kind of chipping away at our reading. You know, suddenly we were allowed to have less people there, so we had to kind of trim our invite list. And then Los Angeles announced a new mask mandate.
Yeah.
Where you're indoors, and as you know, if you're indoors, you have to be wearing a mask in a public place.
Yeah.
And nothing is more fun than going to a room to watch actors read a screenplay when you can't see the actors' faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. So we were thinking of rescheduling in Zoom, and then, you know, a positive thing happened. They made the mask mandate kick into effect literally 6 hours after our reading.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so we squeaked through. It was a very positive reading. We had some fine actors who I'm going to try to corral to get on our podcast. Like Edie Falco was one of them, and she's fantastic.
Oh, cool. Wow. So wait a minute. How is Bonnie Burns? And is she outside, and is she skewered by her sun umbrella?
I was about to segue to that. I was going to say, yeah. Let's go up to the Simi Valley and find out how Bonnie Burns is doing. What's up, Bonnie?
Well, I'm not outside because the wind noise was creating a lot of noise on the tracks. And I am enjoying... And I really am enjoying listening to you guys, getting a lot of laughs. I haven't had my best couple of days. And this is why. So, you know, you go into these houses and everything looks really great and put away. And that's not the way our house looks. And I'm
well, Bonnie, that's called breaking and entering, and you should stop doing it.
Yeah, don't go into those houses.
I don't care how attractive the house looks.
Exactly.
Don't
how
do
are
that.
You getting in, by the way? Are you bringing a ladder?
The Burns method is that a brick makes a great key.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I always say to my daughter, you know, I mean, we should, like, make an effort. We could, like, make a list of, like, the stuff we want to do. And then, like, if you want to invite your friends over, it really wouldn't take that long. So she goes, let's get a whiteboard. I go, okay, we'll get a whiteboard. So she goes out, she buys this whiteboard, and it even has, like, these little pens, like red, blue, black, that you can put on, like, the priority, different color priority. So we write all these things down, and I had this really good friend, and he bought me an antique dry sink years ago. And I went out.
An antique
sink? Dry sink. You know, like from the old days, you'd put like, you know, like in the cowboy days.
No.
Yeah.
You guys don't know what a dry sink is? You don't know what a dry sink is?
I don't know what a dry sink is, but I'm pretty sure that this story is going to end up with you losing that whiteboard in the clutter.
No.
You're wrong.
You know what the first step of someone who's not going to get anything done cleaning or organizing their house is? Going out to buy something. In fact, especially a whiteboard. I just love it. Like, it won't take long. There's not very much to do. Okay, let's go get a whiteboard.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All we're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinevo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, we want to hear the end of this story.
Okay. There is no end.
So anyway, and by the way, yeah, they're right. There's no end. And by the way, she came home with like a really tiny, skinny whiteboard. And I went, Ivy, we're not going to be able to get everything on that little whiteboard. And she said, no. We'll be able to. So anyway, okay, a dry sink, like you see it. Like,
wait a minute, you criticized
days.
The kind of whiteboard she got because that's the problem?
It was so small. It was like a little skinny whiteboard, tiny.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
oh, it's no wonder. It's no wonder you can't clean and organize. You got the wrong fucking whiteboard. You know, you go into these houses.
There's not that much to do. There's not that much to do, but... it's definitely too much for a small whiteboard.
Yeah.
Okay. And the pens are like magnetized so you can hang them at the bottom. They dangle from the bottom.
Right.
Okay. So, okay. Okay.
Who gives a shit about these pens? Where's the dry sink coming from?
It makes all the difference when you're not getting anything done. It makes all the difference. No, okay. I can go into a house and in a second, without even seeing the whiteboard, I can tell you how big the whiteboard is that they use and how the pens dangle off the, whether the pens are magnetic or not. I can tell that just by going into a house.
By the way, guys, just in case you're worried, I've been unrolling a roll of twine behind me so that I can help us out of this conversation if we need to.
Oh, it's not a problem for me.
We are lost.
I have a giant whiteboard right here that I've diagrammed where we've gone in this conversation. Go ahead, Bonnie. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I'm starting to think that the most dangerous words in the English language are "what's new, Bonnie." Those are the words that fill me with dread, and yet I have to say them every week.
All right, so tell us about the dry sink, because I'm sure that's critical in this story.
I finally got the dogs clipped, and I was so glad, and I went over to take it off the whiteboard, and it wasn't even there. It was so disappointing.
Oh, you hadn't written "get the dogs clipped"?
No, that wasn't even on there.
Right.
How does the dry sink fit in?
Okay.
Tell me about the dry sink.
There's a dry sink, you guys.
Do you know why getting the dogs clipped wasn't on the list?
Why?
Do you know why? Because it has jack shit to do with organizing the house.
No, but it had been something I needed to do for a long time.
Truth.
It's like 110 degrees here, and they have big, shaggy coats.
Well, you know what? They have plenty of time to lick themselves.
I think Paula makes a good point that it seems like you weren't really clear on what should and shouldn't be on this whiteboard.
Yeah.
But Bonnie, honestly, I'm going to drive up there to the Simi Valley and so help me. I'm going to brain you with that whiteboard if you don't bring the dry sink back into this story.
Okay. You know what? This could be really great marketing for the show. We can manufacture and sell little antique dry sink replicas.
Like from the old Western.
Yeah, with "Get to it, Bonnie" written on the bottom. Okay, Bonnie, go ahead.
Okay, it's like a tub, little china tub, and there's a pitcher
inside
of it.
Yeah.
What?
I know what it is, yeah.
Well, you said you didn't know what it was.
No, I never said that.
Well, she's had time to go and get a degree in Wild West history since the story started.
Okay, so it's a
I know what it is now too.
Bowl. It has a picture inside of it. It's usually on like a lovely little kind of, I don't know. It's like on a lovely little stand or something that has a beautiful backing. So this good friend of mine buys me one of those. And gorgeous like tiles behind it.
I've known you for 27 years, 28 years maybe, and it would never have occurred to me to get you a dry sink. Never.
Right. But we were at an antique store. He had great taste. And he went, "I'm going to buy you this." It was like a gift. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have a beautiful thing. He owned all these antiques. I send it out to get it, like, I thought it'd be neat if it was white, like if the wood was white. Okay. It comes back, instead of it being white, it's like got those gold flecks in it, which is really ugly. So I kept it in the basement, in the garage. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'll just sand this myself, get it painted a really beautiful color, and then, you know, I'll have this thing to use again. I'll have the color match, like the green in the tiles. It'll be great. We'll put it in our house. Okay, so myself, I get the sandpaper. I'm sanding all this stuff by hand. The legs, because it was an antique, had these beautiful tiling. The stuff smelled like shit that you had to soak the paint in to get it off. Blah, 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 blah. I get it all done. I'm getting ready to paint it. And it had a marble, you know, the thing that the China
you know, Bonnie,
stood on.
Usually people say blah, 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 blah when they want to skip something. I don't feel like you skipped anything here.
I'm taken that she's taken a beautiful antique and fucked it up with modern shit, but keep going.
Okay, so the top of the dry sink was this marble you know, was a marble, like slab, beautiful marble slab. Right. So I'm picking
I just
that.
Asked how you were.
So she put wallpaper what? On it. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. So I'm picking up the top part, which was the marble and, you know, the tile backing. And wouldn't you know that the stripping stuff that I used to take off all the paint of the legs and everything had eroded away the screw part that screwed the marble into the tile part. And the marble dropped to the floor and broke into like five pieces.
I would have known that.
And that is why I try not to do any home improvement stuff and fix up things in our house.
Yeah. You know what? Don't trim your dogs. Just don't trim your dogs.
Things don't work out well for me. They always end up creating a bigger problem.
You know what, though? Here's
okay,
the thing.
Let me ask. Okay, you go first, Paula.
Well, it's just that Bonnie and I have worked together, as you all know, for like 27, 28 years. We've worked together for a really, really long time now. And we both work really hard. And Bonnie's always telling me, like, on the rare occasion that I can't get her on the phone, she'll say the next time I talk to her, she'll go, oh, I was, you know, I was just, you know, I was listening to the tapes of the show, or I was writing up your advances, or I was, you know, contacting such and such a theater. It's always that she was working hard on something for me. Always. Always. That's what she says. And it turns out she's fucking around in her garage, ruining priceless antiques. I'm, you know what? I don't want your Etsy career to get in the way of my business.
Well, I have to do something to relax besides watch Wagon Train.
Well, how relaxing is that?
It turned out that it wasn't. But in the beginning, I thought I was doing something really positive for myself.
But if you
how does
just
it relate to the whiteboard? What the fuck does the dry sink have to do with the whiteboard? And did these two things happen anywhere within the same time period?
No, otherwise all these things end up being undone. Like,
so wait, was the fixing the dry sink a whiteboard item?
No, the point is then the dry sink could have come in the house and we could have had it here. It's like a beautiful decoration in the living
room.
But
how does it relate to the whiteboard? Tell me.
It was
I don't
the
see a connection
to
at
get
all.
Done.
It doesn't. I said, how are you, Bonnie? And you started telling me about the whiteboard and then there was a dry sink. And I don't know what happened.
Now when they manufacture whiteboards, they just have right at the top a little dash, and then it says dry sink right at the top of every whiteboard.
You know, I was on Amazon the other day, and I ordered a whiteboard, and I checked. There were two boxes to check, with or without an antique dry sink.
Yeah. The two have become so intertwined in our society. I just don't understand why you would take an antique and then do shit to it. I don't get that.
I get it. And it turns out like it was beautiful cherry wood and it's all fucked up now and it doesn't even have a top.
And you paint it to match the inside of your house. Well, Holly Hobby, I don't think that's a good idea.
I think we've all learned a valuable lesson here, but I have no idea what it is. all right. Damn it, I'm going to.
No.
Ding
coming
dong,
up,
ding
Mahatma
dong,
Gandhi once.
Dong.
God damn it! Coming up, Mahatma Gandhi once said, there is more to life than increasing its speed. And then he hopped into a souped-up Lambo, peeled out, and raced for the border with the feds on his tail. Or was that Vin Diesel? Sometimes I confuse my bald guys. Our review is next on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the
okay, never
best
mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Houseband Harry Terrell. So, Paula Poundstone, it's time for that thing that we do.
Oh, boy.
You know what thing I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's the thing where we review a movie that is somehow related to a movie that's in theaters right now so that our listeners can decide whether to go to the theater and see said
movie. Wait, Adam.
Yes?
I have a theme song. I made up a theme song for this.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to get in your guys' way, but I have a theme song.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Oh, you won't be in our way, buddy.
give this a try and see if you like it. Okay, here we go. We didn't see the movie, but we have a review. No, wait, let me try this. Okay.
Oh, that was brilliant.
No, wait, I have it. No, I just, you know what happens is I forget the music that goes with it. I write down the lyric. Okay, here we go. We didn't see the movie, but we'll give it a review.
Yeah.
That's it?
That really sounds amazing. Wow.
You know what? You might want to put on the whiteboard, finish writing the movie review theme song.
Yeah, that might be a kind of a useful little thing for you.
Yeah, maybe while the dogs are getting trimmed, you could just sit out in the lobby and work on the song.
Unbelievable, Bonnie. I mean, that is a great start on a theme song.
Yeah. So. Well, I don't really. Adam Thelma. I don't believe that that is a theme song. It was just one line.
Well, it's true, Ms. Culpepper. It was an unconventional theme song, but I think we can all agree that it, you know, there's no set length for a theme song.
Well, I don't get lucky for her, because that is not a long. There was one line. That's all there was to it. One line. And she said she forgot the music. How do you forget the music to something that's one line?
It's a skill. I'll tell you what, Mrs. Culpepper, why don't you offer a potential theme song to this?
We didn't see the movie, but we're reviewing it anyway.
Okay, now, not to put too fine a point on it, but that sounded a lot like Bonnie's theme song, Mrs. Culpepper.
It was different. It was, what do they call that when one artist takes another artist? Plagiarism. No, when they include their work. There's a thing now where somebody records a song and they use somebody else's song within it. No.
Yeah, that's plagiarism. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that's...
It's stealing.
Yeah, something like... Yes, something like that. We didn't see the movie, but we're reviewing it anyway. You know what? I take it back, Bonnie. That's a catchy song.
Well, whoever stole it from whoever, let me just say, it wasn't worth it, the crime.
But, ow!
But now we have two versions of the theme song. Oh, come on, Bonnie. I worked harder constructing that sentence than you did on that theme song.
No. Bonnie, are you going to insist that you worked hard on that song? I wouldn't do that if I was you. That's...
It just came to my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Paula, let's get to this actual thing, because right now, the biggest movie in the United States, in the world, is F9, the ninth installment, depending on how you're counting it, of the Fast and Furious franchise. In fact, to date, it has made more than $500 million.
Oh my gosh.
Worldwide. $591 million. It's well on its way to hitting the billion mark. In order to review it without having to actually see it, we went ahead and watched, you and me watched Fast Five, which a lot of people think is the real franchise launching movie, because it's the one that shifted the focus of the movie from cars and street racing to heists and action thriller stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is the truth. All right, so I'm going to give our little capsule summary of the movie, and then we can launch into the review. Does that sound like a good thing, Paula?
Perfect.
All right, here we go. Dom Toretto is on a bus being transported to federal prison when his sister and her boyfriend, Brian, perform a daring rescue by ramming the bus at high speed and sending it tumbling off the highway and hoping that Dom lives. Is that smart? Shut up, it works. They flee to Rio de Janeiro, where they immediately get into another thrilling action sequence, this one involving stealing cars from a fast-moving train. Dom and Brian plummet off a 200-foot cliff, but manage to jump out of their car windows and plunge into the river below. Shut up, they're fine. But they get captured by the bad guy and chained to the ceiling, but they manage to escape by kicking their captor, causing his gun to go off and shoot their chain in half, freeing them. Is that even possible? Yes, because shut up. Next, we learn that Brian has managed to knock up Dom's sister, so Dom lets Brian win a street race, because shut up again. Next, federal agent The Rock comes to town to arrest Dom and Brian, but ends up working with them because a microchip that's important, because shut up, tells them it's necessary to steal the real bad guy's money, because, you guessed it, shut up. Anyway, they trick the bad guy into putting 90 million bucks in a big safe by setting 10 million other bucks on fire. Shut up, okay? Anyway, the last half hour of the movie has Brian and Dom being pursued by bad guys while towing a giant safe behind their two muscle cars, because shut up, and also fuck you, physics. Anyway, the bad guys lose. Dom and his team double-cross The Rock and make off with the cash, and our heroes learn that nothing is more important than family and $90 million, and shut up.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good summary. That was a very good summary. I would add, I think, that Paul Walker, the Brian character, the girlfriend who's Vin Diesel's sister, is a nondescript woman. She's just nondescript. There's nothing. She's just sort of there. And
do you mean her personality, her looks,
just
the whole
everything
package?
About, were there two women? Was there another woman later?
There was another woman later.
Yeah, because I couldn't tell them apart. It was like two nondescript women. And apparently they took a vote and just said no blondes, no matter what. There was, everyone was sort of, I don't mean racially dark. Everyone was just sort of dark in this movie.
I thought The Rock's partner, the other cop, was blonde.
I don't know. I don't think so. That girl, no, she was a brunette. The one, yeah, no. They had a thing that, you know, no blondes. They were very, and the bus, that when they get Vin Diesel off the bus, you know, the prisoner jail bus, that bus rolls at least once all the way over. And they have a montage of television news reports all saying, miraculously, no one was hurt. You know what? This is bullshit. These characters have an inflated sense of their own worth. They couldn't pull into a 7-Eleven to get a Slurpee without causing millions of dollars in damage and paralyzing many bystanders. They just have no... I did see them wearing seatbelts, I think, and I do like that.
They did wear seatbelts, but
they don't signal.
You're right. That and right off the bat in that movie, you're plunged into how dumb it's gonna be, because you know you see them pulling up and they're coordinating and they're on their communicators and they have this plan to liberate Vin Diesel from the federal prison bus, and their plan is just to ram it as hard as they can and knock it over 1,000 times and hope that he's okay.
But there was no planning. Isn't the first thing you see is Vin Diesel on the bus? And then these cars? Yeah, there was no. How far do you think into the movie it was when they rammed the bus?
Oh, I think you're less than 5 minutes in.
Okay, because from that point on, I didn't understand a fucking thing. I'm the only thing I'm sure about is that somewhere in Vin Diesel's contract, it says Mr. Diesel will not be required to memorize lines and will require the services of a dialogue coach, which I think is great because it got Sylvester Stallone some work. There was a lot of, I couldn't understand. Almost all the scenes were in dimly lit places, which makes sense because they were on the lam. Unfortunately, all of the characters looked the same. They all had guns, and they all punched each other. And alliances were fluid. In one scene, two guys were enemies, and then in the next scene, they were hugging. My guess is it's because they couldn't tell each other apart either. At one point, I think my favorite line in the entire thing, which if you had to boil the whole movie down to one line, it would be this. A dark-haired, sweaty character, and by the way, that doesn't narrow it down at all. A dark-haired, sweaty character asks Paul Walker, how's it feel to be on the other side of a wanted poster? Which makes no sense under any circumstances.
Why?
To be on the other side of a wanted poster? The fuck does that mean?
He means being the one on the wanted poster.
Well, I understand, but that's not the other side of the wanted poster.
Paula, clearly you've never pulled a wanted poster off a wall and looked at the other side.
Usually
the picture of the cop who's chasing the person who wants them is on that side.
Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. And Paul Walker, in the earlier installments of Fast and Furious, 1 through 4, although he's not in 3, is a cop.
Oh, well, I gathered that somewhere, but I've never pulled a wanted poster off the wall because I think that would...
Oh, you should.
Yeah, I think that would put you right on the other side of the wanted poster. There was one actual suspenseful scene in Fast and Furious 5, and that's what you referred to when they're like strung up. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are strung up. They're hanging with chains. From like a wall or a ceiling. It looks like a dungeon. And it's suspenseful because any intelligent viewer is hoping they'll be killed and the film will be over. So that the viewer can go train the dogs. Oh my God. It was, I can't even remember how they get out of the chains anymore, but they do.
I went back and watched it twice because I was watching it with a couple of friends, and I said, that can't be as stupid as I thought it was.
Oh my!
And I went back, and it was that stupid because the bad guy says, you know, to his henchmen, take care of them. And then he leaves saying something like, I leave you to your fate. The door slams. All of a sudden, Vin Diesel, or Paul, one of them, kicks one of the henchmen and kicks them in the gun so that the gun shoots the chain that's right above Vin's head, and then they punch the other henchmen, and then they're out of there. The whole sequence takes maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah, it's very suspenseful. And then they punch some more people. That's where they do some punching, and they return to... And by the way, Adam, if you had friends who watched that movie with you, you owe them... You should be moving them on weekends and picking them up from the airport for the rest of their fucking lives. That's you owe big time. So there's more punching.
Well, let me say some of the things I liked about the movie, because there are some things I liked about it. I thought the action sequences, some of them were really good and really well shot. If you like seeing somebody rolling a car backwards down a ramp from a fast moving train, which wow. I enjoyed for that moment, that was really well done. I mean, they were stealing these cars from a train, and they pulled up alongside the train in this other vehicle that had a ramp, and they backed off the ramp from a train that was going 100 miles an hour. It was kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was oh my gosh. When I saw that, I said to myself, hope there's more of that.
And all right, there wasn't much in it. I mean, Vin Diesel does rightfully get made fun of quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because he sounds like you know, a brain damaged Stallone.
Yeah.
Which is quite an accomplishment.
Can I just do one quote?
And all he does is mutter about how we're family.
Yeah. I just want to do one quote from a particularly moving scene. And this was what Vin Diesel said. And I'm trying to embroider it onto a sampler to hang on the floor near where I sleep. He said this, and this is so memorable.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah,
but if you remember when he was in a fight and he was mad, he went.
Oh yeah, 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 and then he punched some more. There was a lot of punching.
Yeah,
there was a lot for a movie where everyone had a gun. There was a tremendous amount of punching. Fuck! I forgot I had a gun. Oh shit! But no, I'm involved in my punching. There's a lot of punching.
Yes, and a lot of hard punching. I mean, this was the movie where they've kind of abandoned the idea of, as I said, physics or physical consequences for the actions. They're just automotive superheroes.
Oh, no one had a bruise. No one had a scrape.
Yeah.
I mean, even as a stunt person, you would have more physical damage. Even as the person who did like the computer, animation or whatever the fuck it was, would have more injury showing from that than these guys did. So they assemble a team for another heist, and Vin Diesel explains to them that they're going to steal a safe, but that there are some logistical difficulties, like Marjorie Taylor Greene isn't working that day to give them the tour of the building or something. And all of the team expresses doubt about the plan. And one guy, and whoever wrote this line, man, should get like a bonus. One guy says, this just went from Mission Impossible to Mission in Freaking Sanity. Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah. I felt bad for that writer because, you know... You could tell that writer was thinking like that could become one of those iconic movie lines, and yeah. It just, even for the other actors in the scene, it just kind of sat there.
They didn't cut away from the scene fast enough. It was Morgan Freeman's hope speech from Shawshank. It was so beautiful. This just went from Mission Impossible to Mission in Freaking Sanity. So they all express reservations, And yet, seconds later, they're all in. Another guy says, we won't have to parallel park, will we? I can make my car jump a bridge, but if I had to parallel park, I couldn't pass a driver's test. And then he says, I'm in. And then another guy says, Vin Diesel, can we turn up the lights in here? And can we get some name tags? I can barely see anyone, and we all look alike. And then he says, I'm in. And then another guy said, the car that got stolen from me is a stick shift. I can't drive a stick shift. I don't know why anybody would drive a stick shift. It's not like there's not enough to do while you're driving. I've heard people say it gives them more control. Guess what? If you're driving, you're not in control because assholes like us are out there racing, crashing into shit, and killing people. And then he says, I'm in. Yeah, they were all, no matter.
Yeah, that's
no matter
not how I remember it, but.
No, it's exactly what, no matter the passion of their objections, seconds later, I'm in. And you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, well, it was a lot of money and their family. I mean, that's the cliche that people always laugh about is that whenever you can actually decipher a word that Vin Diesel has said, it is family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Throughout all the Fast and Furious movies.
Well,
yeah.
who's the Republican? Is it Gohmert? Who's the guy whose whole family has come out and said, don't vote for him?
Oh, no, I don't think that's Gohmert, is it? I think it's somebody in Arizona.
No, maybe it's the other guy.
You might be right.
I can't remember. But anyways, don't count on this family thing. All right, so Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel, by the way, must both have required teams of people to spritz them with water to keep their bicep shiny. Because that was
very
a
spritzy.
Critical part. I could just hear the direct cut. Vin Diesel's arms are dry. I'm trying to make a movie here, people. Bicep team, get in there. Yeah, there's a lot of shiny biceps.
You know, famously, around the time they made this movie, or maybe it was the next one, those two started feuding because The Rock questioned Vin Diesel's work ethic. And to be fair, in some of the movies, it's hard to tell them apart because they're both muscly, bald guys. But
yes!
In Fast Five, The Rock not only has facial hair, but he's in visibly better shape than Vin Diesel because Vin Diesel is starting to look kind of mushy.
They couldn't tell one another apart. At one point, Dwayne Johnson punched himself. That's, there's a scene where they have a big fight like a big rolling around punching each other fight. And Vin Diesel would say like, I have you in a headlock, Dwayne Johnson. And then Dwayne Johnson would go, I have you in a headlock, Vin Diesel. It was brilliant. And I don't know if I'm right about this, Adam. You probably know more about the movie than I do. I believe those lines were improvised.
I'd be willing to believe almost everything Vin Diesel said was improvised. I still think The Rock is a very, very watchable movie star. That's something else I'd say about the movie. He's not bad. He has nothing to do and he has no good lines, but he's good at what he does.
You know, here's the problem with that argument. It's a piece of shit movie. And there's not a point to watching it nor doing it. Now, I'm lucky because I watched it on DVD. And so fortunately, there is a support number that you can call on the back of the box. So I was able to talk to someone who could validate my feelings. It was a guy named Joel. He said, I hear you. It is. It's a piece of shit movie. Do you have anyone you can stay with tonight? And that was helpful.
I am going to forge ahead and continue to say things that I thought were good about the movie. You're going to disagree with this one, but I liked the lighting and the cinematography.
I think it was great because you couldn't identify any of the characters. And
I could.
You could? Bullshit.
Maybe you should have turned your TV on. In any case, yeah, the director Justin Lin, he's kind of famous for those, you know, really high contrast areas of bright, colorful lights and dark. Like that's it's kind of a stylish thing. Everybody looks like they're in a discotheque at all times.
Wait, did he do that Dwayne Johnson movie with My Little Pony? Was that his?
That was him.
Yeah, because it was bright and then it was dark. Yeah, like Lisa.
that wasn't him.
Okay, there was one scene I did like. Do you want to hear about the scene I liked?
Shh, Yes, absolutely.
Because I want to get on the positive train with you, Adam. My favorite scene was when Paul Walker and the nondescript woman who is pregnant talk. And he says to her, "Do you ever wonder why we're here? How many people do you think we've killed on the road? Do you ever wonder why we're considered good drivers if we do that much damage? Do you ever wonder what kind of a world our child will grow up in? What if on his first day of school, we drive the way we do and wipe out his entire class?" I thought that was moving.
Yeah, I think it would have been had I seen that part. You must have been watching the extended, the director's cut. Because I don't particularly remember that.
No, Paula was watching the original film, and I just want to say, Adam Felber, that was the worst thing I ever sat through. I'm telling you, I'm happy for Captain Culpepper that he was deceased before such a damnable film came out. It made Predator look like Shakespeare. Adam Felber, wow. You should be ashamed of yourself for making Paula Poundstone watch such a film.
Well, I'm just trying to get Paula into the cultural dialogue. I mean, this is a movie that made $626 million at the box office.
Money isn't everything, Adam Felber.
A lot of people love this movie, Mrs. Culpepper, and I think we should attempt to figure out why.
Well, the fact that a lot of people love this movie could be a part of what the problem is.
You're not wrong. And I'm sorry that your husband didn't live to see it, though. I mean, because, you must miss him. Maybe you were affected by this movie and all the car violence because your husband died in some kind of car crash, right? Or something like that?
No. In fact, he did not die in a car crash. Captain Culpepper did not die in a car crash. No.
Oh, he didn't?
No. Of course not. He died from the taro. Toxism, which is the poisoning from a cheese or other dairy product.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see any dairy products, particularly cheese, in this movie. I don't know why it upset you.
It wasn't in the film. He died many, many years ago at a wine and cheese tasting event.
Some bad cheddar, huh?
No, in fact, Adam Felber was the Gouda that got him. I'll tell you what, though, I was up all night talking to Joel from the support line on the back of the DVD box.
Well, Mrs. Culpepper, I'm sorry you didn't enjoy it either. But I'm gonna doggedly bring out one other thing that I thought was good about this.
There's
movie.
Nothing good about this film. What more can I tell you?
Well, Paula and Mrs. Culpepper, I thought the final scene, the giant stupid chase where Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are towing that safe.
Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely absurd and really kind of fun.
Yeah.
As action set pieces go, that was well directed. The effects were good. It all looked real. It looked like they were. And the weird dynamics of trying to tow a giant safe between two muscle cars was, I thought, very entertaining.
They never once used their turn signals. And
true.
I find it really hard to believe that they could drive all that time and do what they were doing. And no light came on the dash ever saying, service required. It was bad. I'm telling you, listeners, it's bad. It was an Ivory Merchant film, wasn't it, Adam?
Merchant Ivory, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Is it Merchant Ivory?
Merchant Ivory. That's why they all had butlers.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the actor now that used to be in all those. Helena Bonham Carter was excellent in this.
Yeah. We need to jump from the cliff now. All right. Well, this is going to be a big mystery, everybody, but coming up, we're going to tell you how we feel about this movie. You, the jury, have heard our case. When we come back, you'll get to hear our verdict, which doesn't quite track as a metaphor, does it? Oh, well, it's still more carefully written than the movie we just watched. We will render our fast and furious decision when we come back. The cat of the week is Felix from Eureka, California. And we're back, and boy, Paula, this has been a roller coaster ride of a show. I didn't have Paula hating this movie quite that much on my whiteboard.
So, audience members, nobody's must be on the edge of their seat to know how I feel about this film.
It's time for the review verdict.
Movie review. Based on not watching the movie, we're gonna tell you what we think. Should you go see it? Our movie review.
You know, you might have said we're gonna tell you what to do, and that could have rhymed.
What was off the top of my head?
It was off the top of your head? You're kidding. Oh, my gosh. How do you do it? That's what I want to know.
All right, Paula. Now that we've been set up with that theme song, based on your viewing of Fast Five, should our listeners go out and see F9 in the theaters?
The only possible reason that you should go see F9 in the theater is if you've been given the choice of two things: driving a rusty nail through the bottom of your foot, or seeing Fast and Furious 9, in which case, I would say, you know, you can get a tetanus shot and use a Band-Aid. I'd say don't see it under any circumstances.
And I say, if for some reason you enjoyed any of the other Fast and Furious movies, you've already seen F9. So my opinion isn't worth shit anyway, but I would say no, don't go see it. All right, well, that was fun. Hey, nobodies, if you have questions or comments or just want to bitch about our movie reviews, send that to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Maybe you have some advice for how to refinish a dry sink. Paula, what's going on in your Poundstone product empire this week?
Adam, at Poundstone Industries, also known as Lipstick Nancy Incorporated, we choose our employees, or cast members as we call them, from a highly educated pool of motivated prospects.
Call it $5. I can't make change.
Which ensures a delightfully warm customer experience. My remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back, which comes in both standard and baseball styles, is available at the store at paulapoundstone.com, which is my website. On September 11th, I'll be in Buffalo, New York at Asbury Hall. On September 17th, I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Buckhead Theater. And on September 30th, I'll be in Austin, Texas at the Paramount Theater. Get vaccinated so we can all be together. You can go on my website, paulapoundstone.com, click on the tour tab and access purchasing tickets. There's more, of course, but Heidi...
Oh, Heidi. And I want to remind everybody, check us out on the social medias, and there on our Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone Facebook page or on my Twitter account, you can find a link to pre-order my upcoming book, Confessions of a Puppet Master. I just got the galley proofs today, and it looks fantastic, with Charles Band, by Charles Band and Adam Felber, and it is a crazy ride of a Hollywood memoir. If you have any love for... If you have more love for movies that can be a little schlocky than Paula Poundstone does, you will love this book. All right, subscribe to the podcast. It's free. You get one every week at no charge. And maybe drop by Apple Podcasts and say something nice in a review. If there's a subject or topic you'd like to know about, tell us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. That's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Thanks to house band Harry Terrell.
Yay!
Check out his music at harryterrellmusic.com.
Yay!
Our show is produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezevnik, Tony Anita Hull, and Tyler Burke.
Yay!
Intern is Carly Patrone.
Yay!
Star Burns production by Land Romo and Kyle McGraw.
Yay!
Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe, a premier internationally used transcription service. Use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at transcribeme.com to receive an expedited service.
There must be a reason why I wasn't mentioned at all in the thank yous at the end of the show. That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me? Nondescript girl, come here.
I'm a family.
Making a punching sound.
Oh, I'm punching me.
I'm punching Vin Diesel. Now I'm punching Dwayne Johnson.
You are Vin Diesel.
Oh, fuck, I just punched myself. Could somebody put the lights on?
Star Burns Radio, a podcast network.